Acts chapter 2 and verse 14 to 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Thank you, Roy. Let's just pray. Amazing words. It's an amazing time that we live in now. So we just pray for Graham as he unpacks some of these things that we need to hear, that we need to be moving in faith towards, Lord. We pray for Graham, you would fill him with your words that we would hear and our hearts would be changed. Amen. So, over to you.
Thanks, Isabel, and good morning. It's great to be here and to have this opportunity to share God's word and to reflect on it. And I don't know what you are looking forward to, what you are hoping for in this new year. I know what some of you are, because we asked the question during our Christmas morning service. And John, who's not here this morning, as far as I can see, was sitting about where Paul is now and was excitedly saying that he's looking forward to the birth of a great grandchild. So that probably means there's some prospective grandparents here as well who are looking forward to that. And Joe was able to talk about the fact that we're expecting another grandchild as well, which we are rather excited about. We know that Kerry is looking forward to getting married later in this year. Some people may be hoping and expecting that appointments that they've been for operations that they've been waiting for so long will actually happen, and that whatever is ailing them can be addressed and put right. Some might be hoping that problems and difficulties that they journeyed with through maybe a lot of 2023 can be left behind, and that 2024 can be a much more joyful and blessed experience. And these are things that each one of us will have as individuals, that we're each looking for, maybe for different things. And one of the privileges of being part of a church family is we can share in that and rejoice when people rejoice and walk with people when we're finding things difficult. But what I want to suggest for each one of us, wouldn't it be great if through this year that we've just started, we were able to hear God more clearly? If we knew individually that God was speaking to each one of us, and if we were able to take what God was saying to us and use it to encourage and challenge each of us as individuals and as a church family. I think that would be something that would be rather exciting. I don't know where it would take us. I don't know where God would take us in that. But I think it's an experiment I would love to try and see what happens. And so as we start this new year, as we start this new series, which we're going to be spending time in over the next 3 months, really, we're going to be spending some time looking at this thing that we're referring to as the prophetic gift. And I'll talk a bit about what that is in a moment. We want to do this as leaders. We want to see, we believe God is calling us to have more of a prophetic culture in the church. So we thought we'd take a bit of time to look at what prophecy and the prophetic is all about, so that we have a good platform for moving forward in this area of our walk with Jesus and our dependence on the Spirit. I don't know how you feel about what I have just said. I know some people are looking forward to this series and what we will discover, but I'm aware that some might find it disturbing as it's outside of their experience. They don't really expect God to speak directly into their lives and into their situations. If you do have concerns or uncertain about where we're going or why we're doing it, either now or throughout this series, please do come and talk with me about that. It'd be good to chat through and to pray over. So what are we doing during this series? We're going to do a number of things. We're going to look at how the New Testament encourages us to seek and develop this gift of the prophetic. We're going to get some context by looking at some Old Testament examples of prophets to see the different ways in which this gift is used. We're going to look at a couple of examples in the New Testament of prophets. We've chosen two people. One you will know something about, one might be less familiar to you. We're going to look at somebody called Agabus. We're going to look at somebody called Jesus. You might be more familiar with one than the other, but they both have something to say about this. And we're going to explore some of the ways in which we, as God's people, could engage with the prophetic. All of this with the intention of providing a deeper understanding of what prophecy is about and encouraging us all to seek it and to exercise it. And if this is a new area for you, life groups are a great place to start exploring this gifting. And we'd encourage you to do that in those groups. And if you're not currently part of a life group and would like to explore that, please do speak with me or with Isabel or with Heather when she's better, and we can try and link you up. So this morning, I'm introducing the theme, reflecting on why it's important and why this gift is something that we should each be seeking. And I was aware that that itself is quite a big statement, as it suggests that engaging with the prophetic is something that is available to all of us. Every person here this morning. And we do need to think about that statement, and we will, because in certain passages, like Romans 10, Paul seems to be saying the gift of prophecy is given to certain people. So how can I stand here and say it's available to all of us? We will come back to that. But before we do that, it's worth exploring a bit what we mean by prophecy, as there are different ideas about what this thing is all about. Some, if you ask them, if you put them on the spot to say, what is prophecy? They would say it's predicting what is going to happen in the future. Some would say that it's speaking God's word, explaining his perspective into a particular current situation. So it's less about what's going to happen in the future, but it's about God's perspective on what's happening now. And as we look at prophecy in the Bible, we'll see both of those demonstrated. Both of them have a part to play in what we refer to as the prophetic. And as I was thinking about this, I came across an interesting definition of prophecy. It doesn't say everything that needs to be said, but it provides, I think, some helpful pointers. And it says four things about prophecy. It says that it's an oral divine message. It's mediated through an individual. It's directed to a person or people group, and it's intended to elicit a specific response. So it's intended to be spoken. Somebody speaks words into a situation. And even with the prophetic books in the Old Testament, that make up quite a bit of the Old Testament, in a lot of cases, they're recording what prophets have said or the experiences they've had. There's a spoken element to prophecy. It tells us that a prophetic message is something that has come from God. This is not just somebody coming up with a good idea. This is God speaking. And when God speaks, we ought to listen. It tells us the message comes through an individual, the prophet. So people are involved in this. There's no sort of disembodied voice coming down out of the sky. Well, not often. And it's for a particular group of people, probably in a particular situation. And it tells us, and we were thinking about this as we were praying this morning, it tells us that the message is not just something we're supposed to hear, but something that's designed to do something. We respond to what God is saying through the prophet. So those are some helpful things in mind, to keep in mind as we set out on this series together. So let's go back to this, the passage that Roy read. Many of us are familiar with that story. It's part of what happened on what's referred to as the day of Pentecost, a few weeks after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. It's a day that's often referred to as the birth of the church. Just before he went back to heaven, Jesus has told his followers to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And that's what happened at Pentecost. It's a powerful moment when there was this noise of a mighty wind, what looked like tongues of fire coming to rest on each of those early followers. They started to speak in tongues through the power of the Spirit. You can find this story in the earlier verses of Acts chapter 2. Many people heard this. They came to see what was going on. And in response to that, Peter stands up and preaches a powerful sermon, explaining to the crowd what was happening, speaking to them about Jesus, and encouraging them to turn away from their sin and turn towards Jesus. And he tells them that what was happening was a fulfillment of something that a prophet called Joel had predicted hundreds of years earlier. So here is an example of prophecy being predicting what is going to happen in the future. And Peter refers to this. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Here we see something of the generous nature of God. As he moves to provide these great blessings to his people, he's going to pour out his spirit on all people. He's not going to put a cap on what he makes available. There's no idea of rationing here. This is a generous gift of God for everyone. Having said that, I think it does need to be qualified a bit. I don't think it is actually for everyone, but it is for those who are following Jesus. It's not as though God is pouring out his spirit on every single person you'll find walking on the streets of Crewe. God might be speaking to them, but that's a different thing. But he does pour out his spirit on all who are part of his adopted family. As we were thinking about towards the end of our last series, we are in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in us. And just so you don't think I'm making this up, Peter himself qualifies this statement in Acts 2. Where he makes it clear that this gift of the Spirit flows from people repenting, being baptized, and being forgiven for their sins. It's for people who have repented, who have been baptized, who have been forgiven. Then, Peter says, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it does mean, and I really want you to hear this morning, it does mean that God is willing to pour out his spirit on each person here who has committed themselves to following Jesus. That's a wonderful thing to recognize, an exciting reality to think about and to live in. We should expect, not because of anything good in ourselves, but because and only because of the generosity of God, we should expect to be recipients of his Spirit, and for this to be demonstrated through visions, through dreams, and the prophetic. It's what Peter said would happen. And Peter said, it's not just for you and your children, the people who were there at the time, but for all who are far off. And that includes us. We're far off geographically and in terms of time, but we are included in that promise. Is that something that you have really heard before? I'm not saying, have you heard it? Because most of you will have heard it. But have you really recognized that this applies to you? That this is what God wants to do. He wants to pour out his Spirit on us. And he wants to pour out his gifts upon us. This is for all of us. It's an amazing, it's a wonderful thing. Paul, as he often does, provides a bit more insight. And in his letters, there's a few places where he speaks about how the Spirit gives gifts to his church. And it's helpful to see what he says as we start to think about developing more of a prophetic culture. We need to recognize it's not a new thing. You know, there are people among us who act and speak prophetically. It was happening this morning as we were praying, as somebody spoke a prophetic word into our situation. But we're simply saying we want more of that, for this to be true for all of us to be listening to God. I get ahead of myself, but that's okay. In Romans 12, Paul says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Here he is speaking about the church being made up of many people in one body and how we are all there for each other and we are all needed by each other. And as part of this, he lists out some of the key prophetic gifts that God gives to individuals through his Spirit. Gifts that are to be used for the general good and building up of the church. And the first gift he speaks about is prophesy, where he encourages those who have this gift to use it in accordance with their faith. This suggests to me that our engaging with this prophetic gift, speaking out what God has revealed to us, is something that will grow and develop over time. As we start doing it, as we see God blessing it and others being blessed through it, so we gain a deeper confidence that this is indeed our gifting, and this increases our faith to speak it out more. And as Val reminded us earlier, again, when we were praying, we had a good time praying this morning, as Val reminded us, we shouldn't be afraid of getting it wrong, because one of our responsibilities together is to discern whether what somebody speaks is actually what God is saying. And we'll pick up that in a few weeks' time. So as we do it more and more and we see God working, then our faith grows and we feel able to do it more and more. And I think there's a challenge here. If God is saying something to us, we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. If God has given us this word for somebody else. But yes, it does raise questions about what I said earlier, about this gift being available to everyone. As Paul here is saying, that different gifts are different, given to different people, with the implication that not everyone should expect to have this gift. Some have this gift, some have another. That's what Paul is saying in Romans 12. And so should we leave speaking prophetically to those people who have been given this specific gift? It's a valid question, and I think it's worth exploring. Paul goes on, he talks about different gifts being given to different people in 1 Corinthians 12, where if you look at that chapter carefully, you'll see he has two lists about the gifts of the Spirit. In the first 11 verses, he speaks about the Spirit giving different gifts to different people. while in verse 27 to 31, she speaks about God giving differently gifted people, apostles, prophets, and so on, to the church. So one is God giving gifts to people, one is God giving gifted people to the church. And both are what Paul is focusing on in 1 Corinthians 12. But again, there's the idea of different gifts being given to different people. But Paul does not stop there. At the end of that chapter, he says, desire the greater gifts. And then he sort of stops at that point and goes into chapter 13 before he explains what he means. Because he wants to make something clear. In chapter 13, he wants people to realize that whatever gifts we have been given, it is vitally important that they are exercised in and through love, otherwise they're of no value at all. And that's what 13 is talking about. And then in chapter 14, he comes back to that theme that he was exploring in chapter 12, and it's there that we start to get an idea of what Paul is referring to as the greater gift. And in verse 1, he picks up his story and says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Here is desiring the believers to desire, he's encouraging the believers to desire the gifts of the Spirit, and specifically calls out prophecy, this thing that we're focusing on in this series. He's going to go on in the next few verses and discuss two specific gifts, that of tongues and that of prophecy. And he seems to be saying that he would like everyone to exercise both of these gifts. He makes it clear. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. He clearly values the gift of tongues. He wants it for everyone. But even more so, he wants them, everyone, to experience and exercise the gift of prophecy. And then in this chapter, he goes on to develop his argument and explain why that's the case. But so in chapter 14, we're left with a clear message that Paul is encouraging all the believers to seek this gift of prophecy. Whereas in chapter 12, he seemed to be saying the gift of prophecy was given to a particular group of people. How do we tie this together? There's also this idea about desiring and seeking something. Seeking a gift, which seems a bit strange as gifts are something that are freely given. Where was Paul going with this? I think, and I'd be very interested to hear if others have different ideas, is that Paul is saying that there will be individual people whom we recognize as prophets. These are people who frequently hear from God, who share what they have heard with the wider group of believers, and whose prophetic messages have been seen to be true and helpful. And we recognize who these people are. But I think Paul is also saying that while that is important and needed, each believer, each of us, should have a deep desire to hear from God, have a belief that God wants to speak to us and that he will as we spend time with him, and that we then have the faith to share what we have heard God saying to us with others. So I think there are people we recognize as with a particular gifting in this area, but that doesn't mean that God won't speak to any of us. And we see this in many different areas of life. I can help out at the Ark. For those who don't know, this is a kids' holiday club that runs for 5 days in the summer, one day Easter, one day at Christmas. I can help out at the Ark. But as I do so, I see people around me who are much more qualified and able to speak with children than I can. They have that gifting, but I can be there and I can contribute. I can play football in the sense that I can kick a ball and cause it to move in some undetermined direction. But that does not mean that I am a footballer. But apparently some people are. I can construct a spreadsheet to do things with numbers, but not in the same way as Joe does or Peter Buchan or Ruth Grimshaw can. They have gifting in that area, or maybe they've worked harder at it than I have. But you know, I can still do it. My point is, the fact that we may not be one of those recognized prophets shouldn't stop us wanting and eagerly desiring to hear God speaking to us and then sharing that carefully and sensitively with others. This is something that Peter says, that Paul says, is for all of us and something all of us should eagerly desire. Do you eagerly desire God to pour this gift into your life? Are you excited about that? Are you a bit cautious about that? Does it terrify you? God is a God of love. He gives us good things. And let's rest in that. So, I want us to do a number of things. I want us to recognize and value those amongst us to whom God has given this specific gift and to realize the blessing they are to us. But I also want us to recognize that God can speak to each one of us and through us bring blessing to his people. And I want to ask you to ask God to develop this in your life. We were reflecting earlier that for so many prophets in the Bible, people who had that real calling from God, the times they heard from God were times when they'd simply chosen, or maybe they had no choice, but they were spending time with God. They were in God's presence. They were open to what God was saying. And it's in that context that God speaks. So if nothing else in 2024, let's resolve to find ways of leaving aside the busyness of life for a short time and just come and sit in God's presence to hear what he wants to say to us. Over the next few weeks, we're going to explore many different aspects of prophecy and see how different people in the Bible have exercised it. And these will all help to give us a much more rounded and fleshed out understanding of this amazing gift and the blessing it is to God's people. But for now, let's be encouraged by the words of Peter and Paul and recognize that we can each hear God's voice. And that what he says to us may be something that somebody else needs to hear. Because often the way God speaks to individuals is through other people who have heard God's voice. Let's spend time with him. Let's listen to him. Let's ask him what we should do with what he has told us. And let's be prepared to experiment with speaking out what we believe God has said. If this is a new area to us, let's do that in smaller groups of people with whom we have a relationship, life groups, friendship groups, people we meet for coffee, so we can encourage and build each other up in a safe setting among friends. I don't know where this journey is going to take us. I do believe God wants to build more of a prophetic culture amongst us. And we all have a part to play in that. Let's be prepared to step out in faith under the guidance of the Spirit, into all that God has for us as we explore this gift of prophecy together. I'm going to pray, and then John and the group are going to lead us in one last song. Father, I want to thank you